Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York, and I'm sitting here on my bright red desk on a beautiful Sunday after a lovely Thanksgiving weekend. I have many things I'm thankful for, and I made a little inventory of them. first and foremost, just life. You know, it's one of those weeks where you really kind of look forward and you go, okay, what are you thankful for? I do find when the sun goes into Sag, and we have Venus in Sag and Mercury in Sag, that there's a lot of energy around grace and thankfulness. So kind of this week ahead, we'll talk about what's coming up, the weekly weather for December 1st through the 7th. And we also are dealing this week with a Jupiter station. So we love Jupiter when he stops and he says, okay, we're really working on this high energy here. As Jupiter stations in the sky, he invites us to try a whole new way of looking at things. He's going to station next Monday on the 8th, but we feel his energy for the 5 days before. And he's stopping at 22, which is, of course, a master number for those of you who do numerology. And he's also stationing at 22 Leo, which is the degree that Saturn stationed at last year. Last March. And so we're going to be working a lot with our understanding of the story of how what we commit to and how it creates for us the reality in our life. So our job this week is to kind of look ahead. The other thing I want to do, and I'd like you to get a pen and paper so you're ready to go through this with me. I'd like you to sit down and let's talk a little bit about the upcoming Sagittarius Saturn transit and the upcoming energy of making decisions and the forecast that we're getting now in our charts about the future, the future of this year and actually the next couple of years. So get a pen and paper, and we'll do that in a second. Go gather them up and be ready to go. And we'll talk a little bit about that this week, too, because there's a lot of energy with that. But let's talk Jupiter station first. Jupiter entered Leo in July. And he's been flying through Leo, and he's going to stop this week and turn retrograde next week. Now, we know when planets stop, they don't actually go backwards, but it's that apparent motion. And he's going to retrace his steps back down to 12, in high change, through Aries time frame. So we always have retrogrades when the planets are in signs opposite to the sun. So the sun's in Sag, right? So the planet's going to be retrograde from Leo, because it's in Leo, through Aries time, and then it'll station and go direct. So the retrogrades always happen, and one of my students had asked me this question, retrogrades always happen when they're opposite the sun? Yes, because you think of yourself as standing in the middle of your chart and looking at the sun, and behind you are the planets that are in a trinal aspect opposite to the sun, and they're going to be retrograde always. That's how we determine retrogrades. So they're literally behind you because we all sit facing the sun, and they're kind of, they do that thing where they put your rabbit ears over your head, and they say, oh, wow, look at the rabbit ears over your head, and that thing when photobombing, I think it's called. So the retrograde planets work behind the scenes, work behind us. So this week, as Jupiter slows to a stop at 22, he's then going to back up all the way to 12 next year and station and go direct again when we get into the time of Aries, another sun sign. Because he's opposite while the sun is in that triangle, triad. So you always know, let's say your sun is you're born as a Taurus and you have Saturn in Scorpio, Saturn's going to be retrograde because it's opposite your sun. And it'll be retrograde between the period of Virgo and Capricorn, opposite the Taurus sun. So that's the retrogrades. Sun and Moon never go retrograde. And Venus and Mercury have slightly different retrogrades because they're inferior planets, meaning they're closer to the sun. But all the people that are past us, from Mars on out, retrograde in that time. And annually, every year, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, Pluto all go retrograde. Because Mars has a two-year orbit, he goes retrograde once in that two-year cycle for a period. But the other guys all go retrograde for a chunk of time. Now, when a planet goes retrograde, it doesn't mean that it's not working. It means that it's reversing the energies. So Jupiter's going to reverse the energy that he committed to between when he hit 12, which was in the fall, and when he gets to now. So Jupiter got to 12 in September. So the stuff that happened in July and August, that's finished. That's over. Jupiter's not going back to that for 12 years. But the stuff that happened mid-September, he's now going to say to you, do you want to revise that story a little? And if you remember, Saturn went into a clear patch of sky, which he's still in through the 12th, when Jupiter stations go retrograde, interestingly. And the stuff that he's committing to now, Jupiter really is not going to necessarily be able to revise or revisit, but the other stuff Jupiter can change. So we watch for these stations because we recognize them as important moments. Because he is stationing at 22, square to the degree of Saturn station last March, some of the old issues from last spring will be up, but they'll be up for a new way of looking at them, a new way of healing them. It's a psychological closing square, right? So Jupiter is in a Leo, it's square to Scorpio. It's closing square, giving us a psychological orientation and understanding this week. So our job this week is to really psychologically take a moment and go towards the light, really focus on the Leo energy of Jupiter. What were the planets trying to create? What kind of vision were they trying to give us? What are they trying to Jupiter teach us? He's the wise teacher. Saturn, of course, is the harsh teacher, but they both work together to give us our cosmic lessons. So as Jupiter slows to a stop at 22, any planets you have at 22 will be affected. But also, there's an energy here of revision or energy of revising your story. And remember, Jupiter is a storyteller. He rules Sagittarius. He rules Pisces. Pisces is the poet and the bard and the singer and the songwriter. And Jupiter as the teacher. So, you know, I kind of listen to different radio things as I'm working in the house. And every now and then I get into clips, you know, and watching clips. And understanding, you know, who are talking to us. And I think with Jupiter in Leo, a lot of our energy this week is a lot about what is our vision, you know. And we've talked about this. I've been saying, what's your vision? What's your vision? But I think we want to maybe broaden it a little bit and even include what's our vision for the collective and how do we get there? You know, what is our vision? What is our hope for our future, Jupiter in Leo? What is the hope of what we want to create? What is the hope of summer? As we're entering the winter season and understanding that our vision now as Jupiter stops and goes backwards in the festival of lights, in the time of lights, is really about what the higher purpose of our purpose, what the higher purpose of our purpose is. I guess that's a way we could say it. What's our higher purpose? So our job this week is to really focus on that. The other thing I want to review, now you all have your pens and papers, okay, everybody got their pencil and paper? We're going to do the moons first because that's always important, and then we're going to go into the preview, the sneak preview you're getting of this year. So on Monday, the moon is in Aries, and it goes void on Tuesday with a square to Mars at 9:42 at night. Moon square Mars, argument energy, but pioneering. So it's kind of like, I'm not in the mood to wait for this anymore. Remember, Mars is exalted in Capricorn right now, and moon isn't really like being in Aries. So we can be a little bit impatient with people that are fuddy-duddy or that are not maybe moving as fast as we'd like. Moon goes into Taurus on Wednesday. And it's in Taurus on Wednesday and Thursday, and it goes void in the morning, Friday morning, really early, 1:45 a.m., goes void with an opposition. Moon in Taurus goes void with an opposition to Saturn, making it a little bit of a harsh energy. At 5:28 in the morning on Friday, it goes into Gemini, and it's in Gemini all day Friday, all day Saturday, and it goes void at 4:52 with an opposition to Venus. Moon opposed Venus is an opposition, but it isn't as hard. And Venus, of course, is in Sag. Moon's in Gemini. So they're going to be, it's an opposition around, well, what do you really want? And a lot of times this is, when I see this, I'm like, okay, you want two of them and you buy one. Or you find something you really like and you buy a few of it. And then you get it home and you realize one isn't the right size, even though it's marked the right size and you hadn't tried it on because you tried on the other one. Moon opposite Venus. What we bring home isn't quite what we want. Moon is void on Sunday morning, and it goes into Cancer at 12:34 on Sunday afternoon, the 7th, and it goes void with a closing aspect of a trine to Saturn, on Moon in Cancer, trine Saturn. So we have personal moons this week. Moon in Aries, hard aspect. Moon in Taurus, hard aspect. Moon in Venus, in Gemini, a little bit of a discussion aspect. It's a what do you actually really want? And then when it goes into Cancer on Sunday afternoon, nice closing aspect. So it's a little bit of an argumentative energy this week. Not bad, but just kind of not all things going your way. It's not a great week to do Christmas shopping because whatever you get, they're not going to really like. I know that's hard. And I know it's close. I know Christmas is really close and Thanksgiving was late, but if you can, wait and order it on Monday the 8th because Moon's in Cancer and they'll really love it. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about Sag, and I'm going to put this in my column, and I know I haven't written the column in a couple weeks because it's been that kind of week, and I hope it's not the whole year like this. But so what we're looking at is Sag in, well, actually, I've been having a lot of fun, so maybe the year should be like that, but I don't shirk my responsibilities like writing my column. So we're watching Sag. Now, the Sag energy in the sky right now, Venus is in Sag, the Sun is in Sag, and Mercury is in Sag, and they're giving us a sneak preview. And they're helping us see things. So Venus, and what we're really going to see is Saturn's story, okay, as he goes along. So Saturn is going to be in zero Sag as of December 23rd, and he gets out of the end of the year. He's going to be at 11:02 Sag. So he runs from 0 to 11 with two parts, part one this spring, part two next fall. He goes back into zero Sag on 9/19, September 19th next fall, and he goes at 4:55 on March 14th. He stations and turns retrograde at 4:55 Sag. So the year this year is Sagittarius. So right now, as Venus travels along in the sky, she's tracking that placement and she's setting it off. So we're having three sneak previews, similar to the beheadings we had earlier this year when Mercury and the Sun and Venus were all traveling together. They're now all traveling together in Sag, and they're writing up the future for us. They're laying it out. So Venus went into Sag on November 17th, and she gets to 11 as of November 26th. So that's the story of love for this year. Right, or desire or money. So watch what went on between the 17th and the 26th, because that's Venus's story for the year, where she's tracking and what stories she brought up you want to kind of pay attention to in your chart. Mercury, it went into Sag on the 28th, and he gets to 11 as of December 5th. So you want to watch what stories he brings up between November 28th and December 5th, because that's the stories you're going to be working with Mercury, with your communications, with your siblings. The Sun went into Sagittarius on November 22nd, and he gets to 11 on December 3rd. So the stories that we're watching about your ego development and stuff have taken place. So while it's still fresh in your mind, go back through those days. Again, the Sun is November 22nd, through December 3rd. Mercury is November 28th through December 5th. And Venus is December 17th through this weekend, November 26th. And that's the sneak preview that the three planets have given you of the place that Saturn's going to track. Now, of course, Venus has now moved into next year. Next year, 2016, runs from 11:02 Sagittarius to 21:15. So Venus runs from 11:22-26 to 22 as of December 4th. So that's her story for 2016. Sun runs from 11:22 from December 3rd to December 14th. And Mercury does that same path from December 4th through December 12th, right? That's 2016. And then the last year of Saturn in Sag is January of 2017, and it goes from 21:22 to 1 Capricorn on December 31st. So 2017 starts from 21:22, so it's the Sun's journey from December 13th through the solstice, the 22nd. It's Mercury's journey from the 12th of December through the 17th, and it's Venus's journey from the 4th of December through the 11th of December. So if we think of these as sneak previews of what Saturn is going to bring us, it helps us kind of focus on our understanding of the stories we're going to be working with from an ego point of view, the Sun, from an emotional and desire point of view, Venus, and from a Mercury point of view, communication and connection and siblings. So just kind of watch, because this is like we did 2 years ago when Saturn went into Scorpio in the fall of 2012. I had people keep track of the Mars journey for that 2 months as he went through Scorpio, and then as he laid out Saturn's journey for the next couple years. So these three guys, because of course it's Sag, and there's a lot of them, and they got to be abundance because it's Sag. So these three guys are really describing, two guys and a gal, Venus is in there, are really describing what our vision, our journey is ahead. So it's a helpful tool. And just kind of think about what you've been working with since planets went into Sagittarius. The Sun went in. The Sun went in on the 22nd, and Venus went in on the 16th, and Mercury goes in on the 27th. Just happened. So, kind of think about what you've been becoming conscious of, what you've been talking about. Those are the stories you're going to be working on. Those are the stories you're going to be fiddling with. Those are the stories you're going to be culminating. So I had a couple friends, relationships ended, a couple friends got married, one friend's parent died, and we're making big choices now. Remember, Saturn's in Apache, he's not going to be in for 29 years. So we are through his getting out of the shadow, into the shadow, the new shadow, which is 28 and a half. Until he gets to 28 and a half, we are really working in clear time, able to make really clean decisions about the direction of our life and our path, provided we really focus on it and dedicate to it. Mars, of course, is exalted in Capricorn. This week he does change out of Capricorn and goes into Aquarius. Still answering to Saturn, he changes on December 4th, but when he changes out of Capricorn into Aquarius, he kind of then wants to break the rules a little more than follow them. So watch for that shift that happens when Mars changes signs on December 4th into Aquarius. So that's your homework for the week. Kind of go back, nice Sunday night, sitting down thinking about what's been going on in your life for the last couple weeks, especially around communication, siblings, desire, money, and your ego expression. And we're working with these stories. This is the preview of the year. So you might as well look, because it's, you know, the movie trailer. Hopefully not all the jokes are in the movie trailer. I was at dinner, Thanksgiving dinner with a friend of mine, and we were watching Bridesmaids. I'm like, boy, this is really good. I never saw this. And she said, yeah, I'm waiting for Tammy to come out. I'm like, oh, I didn't really like Tammy very much. She said, you didn't like Tammy? I'm like, no. She goes, well, I said, all the jokes were in the trailer, you know. So hopefully not all the jokes have been in the trailer for this last few weeks, but that you get a feeling of what the energy is coming in. And, of course, with Sagittarius lights, always helpful to light candles as you're doing these meditations and you're focusing on your vision, because it really does help. So we've done the moons, we've done the Jupiter station, we've done the stuff to look forward to in the trailer and for your year ahead. So let's back up a little and look at the week that we're working with. So our week ahead is kind of busy. Of course, that period of time before Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, is busy, busy. We run around a lot. So the Sun in Sag is going from 11:30 on December 3rd into December 7th. So the stuff that happens Monday, Tuesday is all part of this year. The stuff that happens on Wednesday, December 3rd, that is all next year. So we watch the Sun. He comes to have an aspect to Pluto this week, which is in a blind spot. So a lot of times when that happens, there's a story that's been running that you didn't necessarily know about. And when the Sun comes to get into the blind spot, you find out about it, and you go, wow, I never knew about that. Now, if you think about it, when you're changing lanes and you're busy talking or you're listening to radio or something and you don't really look in the window, you look in the rearview mirror, but you don't necessarily look in the lane behind you, and somebody lays on the horn and goes, honk, and you're like, oh, whoa, 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 sorry, not supposed to change lanes. You can have something like that happen this week with the Sun in conjunct I'm sorry, semi-sextile to Pluto, in Pluto's blind spot. Don't take it personally. Just know that the universe wants you paying a little more attention. We have a trine to Uranus from the Sun on the 4th, which is also very often very helpful and breaks us free into new areas, and that's on the 4th. So it's an expansive energy. And then the Sun squares Chiron on the 5th, which brings up an old wound. The Sun in Sagittarius squaring Chiron at 13 degrees of Sag asks us to go back and look at where we were perhaps abandoned on some level, and to understand abandonment as it stands alone in our lives. We are born into this world alone. We leave this world alone, and that middle part, we get to bond with people. But when the Sun squares Chiron, a lot of times we don't really feel connected, or we kind of are standing in our sad place. So just know that when we get to Friday, you might feel a little bit sad from an ego point of view, and it's okay. That's kind of part of, and that's a little bit of the melancholy of the holiday season, where we look and we go, gee, you know, everybody, you know, like you think about the Christmas is past or the Hanukkah is past, and you go, wow, you know, it's so different now. You know, the energy is so changed, and it is. It's very much a shifting, and of course, the Sagittarius reminds us of that change because it lights up. The shifting energies of the season, the shifting energies of how everything changes as we go from the ending of the fall into the creation of the light of the new year. Mercury, of course, is very strong, and he's in Sag, and he runs from 7 Sag to 15 and a half. So he's going to be telling the story of this year and next year, and as he gets to the 5th, that's next year. Okay, which is Friday. Mercury's aspects this week are, you know, kind of that kind of energy. Not clear, but not quite what you want. And he's in Sag, so he's really just not listening well. So a lot of times when I see Mercury in Sag, you know, I'll say something in a reading and the person's eyes will get really big. And I'll go, okay, they heard that, but I don't know what the heck they heard because they're making big eyes at me like, uh-oh. So Sagittarius is, it delivers the message, but it sometimes can be a little frank for people, right? So I had somebody here today, and I said, well, you know, we were talking, and we were looking at a person's chart that they were involved with, and they said, well, you know, the last time I was here, you said, well, if we had children, we wouldn't have any more. I think this isn't PG, but we wouldn't have any more sex. And I said, well, yeah, because of the aspect in their chart, then they become, you know, they think of you as their mother, and they can't get naked with you because it's like sleeping with their mother, and you know, there's a whole drama. And I said, but what you can do is when you give birth, don't let them in the room. That whole giving birth thing, you know, the placenta and stuff, that really freaks out a lot of guys. And that will freak out this guy. He wants to be supportive, so he thinks he should be there, but trust me, when he sees it, it's gonna really throw him for a loop. Better to not do that. If he has kids with another person, great. Don't have kids with him. You know, we were kind of strategizing, you know, how to work with this energy in the chart, but her eyes got really big. She's like, oh, I thought you said I couldn't have children with him. And I'm like, no, you can have kids with him. You just have to be careful. If you do have kids with him, this is an issue, so you have to kind of work with this issue because he's going to get a little freaked out. And we all get freaked out by different things. So Mercury in Sag this week wants to freak you out a little, okay? And just know that its desire is to make you go, uh-oh, really? And don't, you know, get that big eye look and then go in and question again what it actually means, right? Go in and ask again. Say, well, okay, I really want to understand this. What does this really mean? And get in and clear it out a little because it's, you know, if you understand the energies of the aspects, you can figure it out. But Mercury in Sag, you may get some news that kind of makes you step back a little and go, really? I didn't know that was what you meant, or I didn't know that was what you were meaning, or, you know, what you said kind of shocked me. And Sagittarius, fire, it illuminated something, but it maybe illuminated it in a way they didn't really want to hear. So check on those faces that you see kind of running around you. And remember, it is Sag, so we say it quickly, and we don't necessarily realize the impact. So we have to go, wait, you're making a face. What's in there? What's the question? Understand the intensity below it. The Sagittarius delivers the information, but it doesn't necessarily think about what it says. It just says it. It goes, well, frankly, whenever you hear frankly, you know you're hearing a Sag something talk, right? Because they use the word frankly. I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. And sometimes the truth can be a little bit shocking. And in this case, with Jupiter stationing, ruling that Mercury in Sag, the chart goes a little wild, right? And, you know, it's a classic aspect, Moon square Venus in a male or female's chart. Have to figure out how to balance the feminine with the maternal, how to work those energies, or the opposition. When it's a trine or a sextile, it's good, but when they were born with a square or an opposition, they weren't necessarily sure how to be both, how to do both. So for those of you who are going to write a question to me saying, what aspect was that, Ann? Moon square Venus or Venus opposed the moon. They have to figure out how to balance the different sides of the feminine. You know, and we have that whole thing in our culture, or a lot of things in our culture, that kind of say women have limited and prescribed roles. And, of course, now with all the asteroids gaining acceptance and we're in the 2000 millennium, women are coming up and saying, hey, you know, I think I'm going to change the definitions by which I have been defined. But we still have those aspects in our chart, and we have to learn to work with them. So Mercury this week delivers some shocking news, particularly around Friday, when he comes to trine Uranus and aspect the blind spot of Pluto. So if you hear something on the 4th that kind of is surprising to you, and you follow up with it on the 5th, and you're still a little shocked, and maybe even a little hurt because Mercury squares Chiron on the 6th, just take an extra moment or two and go, okay, why am I learning this now? There's some illumination going on that I'm supposed to work with, that I'm supposed to figure out, that I'm supposed to work with in a new way, because Mercury in Sag is going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. And it might be a little shocking, whether you like it or not. Venus this week, on the 1st, she meets somebody. So if you have a party, get your butt out the door. Of course, Yuko will say, and it's got bad DNA that day because it's a hard closing aspect. I'll say, yeah, but it is a trine and an aspect to the nodes of destiny. So take the call, even if you're not 100% sure what you want to do. Venus later in the week, on the 4th, trines Neptune, or quintiles Neptune and trines Jupiter. So we do have a lot of abundance this week and a lot of expansive energy that wants to get us out in the world. We often find a new tribe member on the 5th as Venus joins Cupido. And I know I'm going away on a past life regression weekend this weekend, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what my regression weekend tribe talks about. So watch for a possibly changed broadcast next Sunday because I'll be traveling home during our regularly scheduled time, so I'll probably broadcast earlier in the day. And so December 5th, we bond with our tribe. I'm going to be doing past life regressions. I guess I'm going to be bonding with my past life tribes too. And we have a lot of energy with Venus in fire. You know, she's very generous. She's a kind and gracious co-host of the universe. Mars this week goes from 27 cap into Aquarius. He transitions into Aquarius on December 4th at 6:57 at night. He's still being answered. He's still answering to Saturn, but when he's in Aquarius, he's a little more disruptive. Capricorn follows the rules and likes following the rules. Mars in Aquarius goes, I don't want to follow the rules, and you can't make me. So he has some stressful aspects this week, nothing particularly major, but he is in the mood to kind of resolve things as he's in late Capricorn. He wants to close some deals. So it's an excellent week for deals closing, not quite getting what you want, but for finalizing terms. Don't sign until next week when we have that lovely little moon with a closing aspect to Saturn. Saturn sesquiquadrates Uranus on the 3rd, which is a stressful aspect around what's important to us. And, of course, this happens very rarely, once every, 60 years or so. So there can be unexpected changes in structure on the 3rd. And usually when this aspect happens, a bridge falls down someplace or there's some kind of big explosion. So watch for that in the news. It's always nice to forecast exciting events in the news. And then on December 3rd, Vesta enters Capricorn, which is a lot about changing the direction and the structure of where we are working and what we find nurturing. And, of course, Vesta is our body. So if you're looking to start an exercise program or you're looking to start a new diet or work on something and be very strategic, that's an excellent time to do it. Saturn does have an opposition to Admetos on the 7th, and that can be an ending. That's next Sunday, where you say goodbye to something. And on that note, the British lady says, I'm done. So off we go, wishing you a great week of December 1st, 2012, and may it be much fun. Take care and have a great day. Bye-bye.